All right, let's continue on here. All of us are not spring chickens or roosters. So we've all learned a few things, and we've all had our feathers plucked. See, we know that. So we need to cover these principles so we understand, because unfortunately, and I don't see it here in any great degree with anybody, but I do remember this. I was talking with a man who was contemplating coming with CBCG up in Canada. And so Wayne Stenhouse and I, we went over, it was what, near Toronto, wasn't it, where we went, Sylvia? And he had a wife that ran the show. He was an elder, yeah. And so I stayed at their house. She's the one who did all the talking. And I'd talk with him, she'd answer. I'd be looking at him, here comes the answer over here. And so this went on for about 3 days, because we also drove up north to another area north of Toronto to see some brethren up there that he knew. And then we came back and we stayed at a hotel there in Toronto. And it was, I think it was Friday night that we were talking. And I'd be looking at him like this and talking. She'd answer. And I'd look over here and talk to him. She'd answer. So this went on 3 days. So finally I said, please, let me talk to your husband and don't you answer. Whoopee-doo. Went over like a lead balloon that fell 20,000 feet out of the sky. He couldn't calm her down, and she couldn't be still all night and couldn't sleep. And boy, the next morning, they didn't show up for Sabbath services. I think that was the thing. Maybe not quite like that. Maybe it was they were there at Sabbath services, and then this was Saturday night, and then they didn't show up for Sunday morning function. I forget exactly what it was. But poor Wayne. They came after Wayne. Did you know this? Did you know that? You should have heard what Fred said. He told my wife to shut up. You know? But you know, you just think common courtesy. If you're talking to someone, you'd expect an answer from them. But for 3 days it was, hello, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. You know. That was the most difficult situation I've ever had in all my life. And poor Wayne. I think they were pretty good friends too. And I don't think that is she still alive, Sylvia? Okay. I don't think they have ever gotten over that. See? But what's so hard about doing what God says? And in the final analysis, we'll all be happier. See? It's like one man told his wife, you want me to be nicer to you? Quit correcting me all the time. If I do need things that need to be done, he said to her, pray and ask God to show what it is. So she quit correcting him all the time, and lo, behold, they're getting along better. See? It's just that simple. You see? Because I think he told her, now what if I corrected you every time you did something wrong? How'd you take that, huh? Hey? So sometimes put the shoe on the other foot. Okay, we've already covered the rest of it here. See, Adam was formed first, then Eve. We'll talk about that a little later. Adam was not deceived, but he still sinned. Okay, now let's come over here to Titus, the second chapter, just a couple of pages over. Because you see, When women quit being women and men quit being men and they mix the roles like they have today, and some of that is very nutritional too, we can't get into all of that, then things are upside down and they don't work good. See? But if you go back to what God says, love each other, help each other, become one flesh, and so forth, we'll read it the way that God wants it to be, then things are going to go along a whole lot better. And guess what? Everybody's going to have a better emotional condition, aren't they? The wives are not going to be angry and frustrated, and the husbands are not going to feel like they're henpecked. Okay? It just works better that way. You know, try it. You like it. Okay, Titus, the second chapter. It says, but as for you, speak the things that befit sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, serious-minded, respectable, sound in the faith, in love, and in patience. And in like manner, teach the older women to be in their behavior as fitting for godly women. Not slanderers, not enslaved to much wine, but teachers of that which is right. God expects women to be teachers. Teachers to women, but not over men. And you can put in a mix right there, you can put in your notes, the Proverbs 31 woman. You read that, she's got brains, she's got intelligence, she knows how to handle money, she knows how to run the household, she knows how to take care of her children, and she does such a good job that her husband praises her. Right? Does that sound like oppression? No. That's just fine. And in the days of Jesus, women did the weaving and making of clothes. Remember Lydia, who was a seller of purple? That was her business. Okay? And they did things like making clothes and selling them and brought in income into the family that way. She did it at home, took care of the home, took care of the family. And that's the way that it should be, see? All right? That they may teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and sometimes that takes teaching. Sometimes that takes, you know, we're not the first people in the world to ever come up with psychology and psychological teaching, positive thinking and, you know, encouragement and helping people come along by talking nice to them. That's what this is all about too. And I think this, if the husbands do not oppress the wives and the wives do not pick on the husbands, but they work at helping each other, everything's going to run a whole lot smoother, see? God created both of us so that we come together to become one flesh, that we both learn from each other, we both grow together, we both, you know, get old together, be married many years, have many experiences, and we go through all the things with all of our children, and then their children's children. And if you have good enough health, then their children. I mean, and then finally, before you die, you have a big family reunion with a picture of this family tree. And when that picture comes out, you look at your wife with your gray hair, you know, and her gray hair, and you say, my, look what we started. See? Okay. All right. Now notice this. And also, continuing verse 5, to be modest, chaste, keepers of the home. Boy, is that's what is missing today, isn't it? Kids come home to empty houses. That's the devil's playground. To be good, to submit themselves to their own husbands so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. I wonder how God looks at the church where a woman is a pastor. In the same way, exhort the younger men to be sober-minded. In all things, keep yourself. In all things, you yourself set an example of good works and doctrine, uncorrupted, serious-minded and sincere. Use sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that the one who opposes you may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. Well, that depends on their attitude. All right. Now let's look at a couple of other scriptures here. Let's come to 1 Corinthians 11. There's that dreaded chapter. Now remember, they had things upside down. they had things upside down in Corinth in so many different ways. But 1 Corinthians 11, okay? Now let's understand this in the way that God wants us to understand. Let's look at it this way. Who's the head of the church? Christ. Does he love the church? Yes. Does he care for the church? Yes. Does he provide for the church? Yes. Does he correct the church? Yes. Okay? All of those things are all examples from Christ. Is he going to marry the church? Yes. Okay? And we'll see how he does the thing so that it's all going to work together for good. And that's what God wants. See? Verse 1, chapter 11, be imitators of me exactly as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, because you have remembered me in all things, and you are keeping the ordinances in the way that I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand, he's got to have a clarification here, see. Now remember, in Greece, they had the oracles of Delphi, and they had women priestesses. So consider the society that from which they came. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's the order that God has created. See? We don't want to go against the creation of God. Every man who has a covering on his head when he is praying or prophesying puts his head to shame. But you could never get a rabbi to read that. But every woman who has her head uncovered when she is praying or prophesying puts her head to shame, for it is the same as being shaved. Okay. When does a woman pray? Well, she prays at home. She prays with her children. She prays with her husband. Okay. When there's special music and a woman sings and it's a prayer, it is a prayer to song. Okay. And when she sings and it's prophesying, then that is fine. It would have to do that because he says, I don't allow a woman to speak in church. How could it be anything else? Go on. Okay. Continuing, or prophesying puts her head, her husband, to shame, for it is the same as being shaved. Now, some women today shave their heads, and they do look pitifully awful. They do. For if a woman is not covered, let her be shorn. Now, we're talking about hair and hair length, okay? Now, I'm glad to see an improvement in hair length among the women. And I've deferred going through this for years, lest I offend some women, okay? I don't want to offend men, but there are also long-haired men, too, okay? And what do you think every time you see a long-haired man? Yuck. What happens when you see a real short-haired woman? Yuck. And guess what the length of the hair was of the woman who answered for her husband every time I was talking to him? It was not down to her ankles. Okay. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, now shorn is cropped really, really, really short, let her be covered. For on the one hand, men ought not to cover his head. A man ought not to cover his head. And what do Jews have for prayer? A prayer shawl. No wonder they reject the New Testament. Okay? Ought not cover his head, for he is in the image and glory of God. But on the other hand, the woman is the glory of the man. Special creation for man. And the man is a special creation for woman. See? To help in building God's family by having their own family and children so that God's plan can go forward. That's a tremendous thing. You ever thought of it? We're all in partnerships with God in his creation and in his plan, even with our children. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. And also, the man was not created for the sake of the woman, but the woman for the sake of the man. For this reason, it is necessary for the woman to have a sign as being under authority on her head because of the angels. Now, that's very important because look at all the things that happen to women when they're alone. I mean, think of all the brutal kidnappings and rapes and everything like that that go on. And it can be more than just, you know, cropped or shorn hair. It can be rebellion against mother and father. It can be, you know, completely innocent and someone just come along and kidnap and murder and kill. We've seen all of those things because women are the weaker vessel. They just are. So he says, continuing now, neither is the man separate from the woman, nor the woman separate from the man in the Lord, because we're going to see in a minute, we are to become one flesh. For as the woman is of the man, so also is the man of the woman, because every man other than Adam has been born of their mothers. Correct? Yes. But all things are of God. Now you judge for yourself. So Paul said, okay, you figure this out for yourself. You judge this. Use the mind of Christ. Use the Spirit of God. You judge for yourselves. Is it becoming for a woman to pray to God uncovered? Or does not even nature itself teach her that if a man have long hair, so we're getting into the real topic of the subject, it is a shame to him. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, because the long hair has been given to her instead of a veil to cover her head. Now, every Muslim needs to read that. You talk about oppression. Think of the poor women in the Muslim countries that have to, you know, especially those that have to wear burqas and look out like they almost have to have a telescope, you know, walking down the street to see where they're going. See? And they're oppressed in many ways. See? And when people talk about men being the head of the wives, too many people think of the example of the Muslims where they have four women, treat them like their kids, they can beat them and slap them around, and if they do something they don't like, they can kill them. It's not what God wants. God is love. He wants us to have love. We're to love each other. We're to care for each other. We're to uplift each other and be supportive in every way. Okay? It's been given to her instead of a veil to cover her head. Now, if anyone is contentious over this issue, we have no such custom, neither do the churches of God, of what? One, long-haired men. Two, short-haired women or shaven-head women. And number three, wearing a veil over your head. Okay? No such custom. All right, now let's look at the ideal, because we go from what is corrective, and that's pretty corrective there, you know, and I don't think I've given a sermon on this in what, 10 years? You think that's enough space of time? See? All right. Let's come to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Let's see what God wants here, okay? Let's see the ideal. And we'll finish this section with this, okay? All right. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, in order to do that, you've got to have brains, intelligence. You've got to think. That doesn't just make you a yes person. That doesn't make you less than a person. That gives you the fulfillment of being a woman. See? As to the Lord. Now, that's quite a comparison, isn't it? You're going to fight and argue against God. You're going to fight and argue against Christ. You're going to correct him, whatever it may be. Now, sometimes, husbands, you know, your behavior is bad enough that, you know, maybe your wife really needs to let you know how she feels and what's happening, see? That doesn't necessarily mean she's in rebellion against you. But you see, if you do things that are so bad that you just, you know, like blithering, going down the street, destroying everything in your path, and your wife doesn't say anything to you, then, you know, she is not treating you in the right way. But if she says, hey, look, what are you doing? Stop and think. What is happening? Do you understand what's going on? Do you realize what you're doing? No. Well, see? Okay. For the husband is the head of the wife, Now, that takes a lot of intelligence. That takes the Spirit of God. That takes love. That takes dedication. That takes understanding. That takes patience, doesn't it? Yes. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. For even as the church is subject to Christ, in the same way also let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. All right? Husbands, love your own wives. Don't treat them with contempt. Don't treat them as less than you. Don't treat them with a superior attitude. Any of those things. It doesn't mean that. See, it means love them. Now, if there are things that need to be corrected, you can correct them. Ask some questions, you know, so forth. Love your own wives in the same way that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And here's the whole goal. This is the whole goal of the church. This is the whole goal of each individual. This is the whole goal of marriage. All right? So that he might sanctify it, that is, make it holy, having cleansed it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it might be holy and without blame. This is all to uplift your wife, all to help her, all to inspire her. And if you do that, she will be inspired to submit to you. Does that sound like a fair bargain? This is what God wants. Now, you know, I'm sure that some who are going to hear this message, because I'm going to send it out, will kind of be chafing at the bit, or, you know, or saying, well, no, he just doesn't understand my situation. Listen, what I've been through, I understand 99%. I can't say I understand 100%, okay? I understand, see? So you need to ask the question, do you understand? And if it's a real problem for you, either man or woman, well, maybe you ought to sit down and figure some things out yourself. Like Paul said, you judge yourselves. See? Don't come and ask a minister to referee the situation. See? Part of being husband and wife are to work things out. Sometimes they work out smooth. Sometimes they're a little rough. Sometimes they're a little difficult. Sometimes it's silence for a while, too. Isn't that true? Okay. But nevertheless, all of those are experiences that we go through so that we can build the character of Christ. Isn't that it? Isn't that what God wants? See? So what God wants is not exalting men and putting down women. It is not saying that women are any less of a human being than a man. No. Each one of us have a special relationship by our creation to God and then to each other. All right, let's finish it here. That he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it may be holy and without blame. In the same way. Now notice what Paul writes here. Husbands, you are duty bound to love your wives as your own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. Okay? Now then he brings out a very tremendous spiritual analogy of oneness. For we are members of his body. Now, this took me some time to understand this. Years, as a matter of fact. Of his flesh and of his bones. And the flesh means through Christ's sacrifice, and of his bones, referring to how Eve was created from one of the ribs of Adam, so that in the same way, we are recreated in the image of Christ, from the innermost being of Christ through his Holy Spirit. Okay, does that make sense? So that's something. All right, well, I didn't cover everything I could have covered, I suppose, but we need to leave these things in the same category of judge it yourself and whatever needs to be. Now, you're going to be in a position that you're going to help other people. You're going to be in a position that someone is going to say, what should I do? You've all gone through enough experiences, haven't you, so you can tell them. And another thing that's very important for us to understand is this, is that if you talk to anyone, whether woman to woman or man to woman or woman to man, in any kind of helping people with their problems, keep it confidential, okay? Don't discuss it with your husband or your wife, because people come to you so that they can get some counsel, and they don't want it to go any further than between the two of you. So make sure that you keep it that way, see? Then you will be able to help more people, because the worst thing in the world that anyone ever wants is they tell someone about their problems and difficulties, and next thing they know, they hear little birds flying around the congregation, right? See, that doesn't work out very well. See, so always remember that. And there are things when I'm counseling and talking to people, I don't discuss them with my wife. When she talks to different ones, she doesn't discuss them with me. And that's the way that it should be. Now, in the way of preaching and teaching, women should not develop doctrine, okay? God left that to the ministry to do. That doesn't mean you don't have points of understanding you can add to your husband's or others' understanding, or by asking a question can bring something out, which is very important, you see. But I've received papers from wives of elders who developed doctrine, and their wives ended up running their husbands, and it's led to disaster, okay? And if that happens and the elder never recovers, then somewhere along the line he will disqualify himself as being an elder for letting his wife rule over him, see? So there's also that thing that we need to consider. All right, well, let's go ahead and I think that's about all we can cover on this. Let's go ahead and take a break. There are a couple of other things that take a short break and come back, and we'll go over the other things, okay? Thanks.